B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Let me get the man who covers the birds for the Inquirer. Inquirer.com does such a wonderful job. The one, the only, Jeff McClain. Jeffrey?
Anthony, how you doing?
So the Bijan Robinson stuff is interesting to me because, you know, he's coming in for a visit and he tweeted that out. And I know that you don't take a running back in the first round, and that's never been a Howie thing. And they haven't taken a running back in the first round since Keith Byers. However, since you got your corners locked up, I mean, Bijan Robinson is nasty. I mean, he's a good back. I think it would be a great pick for this offense.
Yeah, I don't buy it. There are special running backs out there that you will make exceptions on in terms of whether you're going to draft in the first round or not.
Yeah.
Because of two picks, right? Maybe the latter pick, I don't think. I really don't think Howie will extend the 10th.
No. It's the late one. Like, you can always trade back. Like, he's going to go late first round.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of seems to be, where running backs now go unless they're super elite guys. And even then, you can argue that Saquon Barkley's of the world.
Well, yeah, but I'm not even talking about that because that was ridiculous. That was stupid. Like, you can't build a team around a back.
Yeah.
Like, good backs are, I can make the argument that you should never take a running back over, higher than a three, maybe a two. But that's, that's kind of where I'm, Dalvin Cook was a second round pick. Like, guys like that, and add to the elite talent. Like, you can find great backs in the second, third, or fourth round. But Bijan Robinson is clearly the best back coming out this year. And you could also make the argument that with Hurts, like, you want to make sure that you're not running Hurts the way he ran last year.
I would agree with that. And especially if you're going to lock him up long term, which we all expect to happen at some point. It changes a little bit the way you view him and how you use him in the run game. Look, I think they're going to do more at the running back position. Rashad Penny is a, low risk, high reward type of signing. They still have Kenny Gainwell. I don't think they view Gainwell as a number one type back, and Boston Scott. So I think they'll add maybe a vet, another vet. More than likely, I think they'll be a rookie. This is considered a pretty deep running back class. That being said, the running backs will drop, and they may view. Getting someone in that third day and even undrafted, that's typically more Howie's MO. If you're asking me what I think would happen, I would say it's very unlikely they take a running back even with that second pick. That's just not what Howie does.
I agree.
I think it's a value pick and they still have, they got to think about, some of these older guys, on the lines that have left that they have to replace or that are still on the team.
I'm with you, Jeff.
But they brought in guys for other reasons beyond.
Without a doubt. I mean, there was smoke screens and I know Howie intimately, right? Like I'm pretty close to him. So I know the way he thinks and the whole thing. And I completely discounted it, too. When somebody brought it up, like, it would be a good... I'm like, yeah, I like Bijan Robinson, but that's not what Howie does. The corners, when you re-sign the corners... And again, listen, I always do what I do, right? So I started to think, like, all right, I got the corners. So that was my number one priority heading into this draft, was to get a corner. Now, obviously... you're always looking for corners and edge rushers and that sort of thing and offensive linemen. But if I got a dependable back like that with this offense, I mean, they would be a top offense in the NFL.
Well, certainly he has a lot of talent and you've heard it from analysts and I've talked to a few scouts about him. In terms of how they view him long term, he's got that kind of talent that he could be easily number one back for several years. So never, you know, as I say never on any of this stuff. If he drops, certainly. I mean, that, you know, that brings him into play. I mean, that's, you know, that's what they'll do. They'll make value picks based upon that. But, you know, typically, Eagles are pretty easy to predict, I think, a lot of times when it comes to the draft.
So let me ask you about Morrow. They sign a linebacker, and they get a linebacker like Morrow. What do you think?
Yeah, again, you know, productive last year, over 100 tackles. I you know, I got to look a little more closely.
Played every game. Yeah.
He didn't cross over with Desai in Chicago, but I'm sure Desai knows about him pretty well. He missed a lot of 2021. And, you know, that's probably played a role in why the Eagles were able to get him at this point. And, again, off-ball linebackers are another team, another position you're just not going to see get paid, not only by the Eagles, but also around the league. So this is a good time for them to hop in to that position and get someone to fill what is now a hole. I mean, you lost Kaiser White. You lost T.J. Edwards. You have Nakobe Dean waiting in the wings, but, you know, again, we don't know what he's capable of yet. So you want to get a veteran that's done it in this league, and I think at this point getting Morrow is, you know, makes sense.
So just to tell us the whole story about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. What's the whole story? I mean, you know, is it just he is got a – you know, he's one of those kids, emotional, that sort of red flag. Like, what's the deal with him?
Yeah, and, you know, look, again, you have to go back to New Orleans. And, you know, what did you see there? What were some of the incidents that he got involved in, not only on the field, off the field, the fight with Michael Thomas? The fact that they were willing to part with someone this talented for only essentially a fifth round pick makes you wonder, you know. Look, hey, good for Howie. He, you know, he got a lot of compensation, and, you know, and get.
A civil authority has issued a required monthly test for all New Jersey. Effective until 12:57 p.m., the New Jersey Office of Emergency Management is conducting a test of the emergency alert system. Had this been an actual emergency, the attention signal you have just heard would have been followed by official information or instructions. This concludes the test of the emergency alert system.
May get, and I'm not sure if he got that high expectation from his agent or not. And then there are the, again, as I mentioned, the risk factors with someone like C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who, you know, came in initially. There were, I think he tried to kind of, as one source inside the team described to me, it was like a, you know, substitute teacher, and, you know, first day or maybe the first day of school, and C.J. was kind of testing. Not only some of the veterans in the cornerback room, but also on the team. And eventually, though, they got into buy-in. Hey, this is how we do things. If you want to, you know, stick around here, you gotta kind of follow suit. And I think CJ did. And, you know, there are a lot of guys in that locker room that like him. He brings a lot of energy to the practice field. He's a trash talker, but, and he's, you know, a little yappy at times. Sometimes maybe he kept to himself in terms of the media. I seem to kind of see one of the guys that he was more willing to talk to, so I was able to get a couple interviews with him by myself, and I think he opened up a little bit about what he was thinking and where he's coming from, about his relationship with Malcolm Jenkins, and about how he's going to approach free agency. But I think the Eagles, from what I understand, the Eagles viewed him, and not only the Eagles, but other teams around the league, as a guy that if he all of a sudden got this huge contract, how is he going to behave? Is he still going to be the same CJ to go out there and put in all the effort that he did in a contract year? Was he going to not be as kind of, you know, I hate to use this phrase, but, like, I don't think he is a pain in the ass. But, I mean, they're definitely took some handling of CJ.
Yeah, he's high maintenance, you know, is what he is.
He's a little high maintenance, right. So is he still, you know, is he all of a sudden going to be even more high maintenance once he signs that mega-million-dollar contract? And I've seen it before. I've seen it several times, and the Eagles have had issues with giving guys these contracts before, and they let them walk. And I've seen them given contracts to these guys before, and they change, Michael Kendricks being one of them. I know specifically it happened to him. They're always worried about Deshaun Jackson and how he would handle
it. Yeah.
So it happens. And, you know, that, you know, would that have happened with CJ? We don't know. But that's where the risk factor comes in.
Yeah, and listen, I get it. I do. Because I like the kid. I thought the kid was a player. And I don't mind that kind of fiery attitude. In fact, I like it. Except he can be there's a lot of that, though, that can work on the negative side too. And that's my only thing with him, is that the high maintenance piece, and, you know, you're going to delete tweets, and then you're going to be popping off, and then, you know, all that
he's
nonsense.
Emotional. Right. Yeah. And I don't want to say this was the right move, because I don't know.
Right.
You know, that's not my job here to look at. I want to look at it objectively. And he ends up signing for 1 year, $6.5 million. If you were told that, you know, a week before free agency, and I think a lot of people on the outside, they would have said, sign me up right away.
Right.
And at the same time, you're bringing someone like Fletcher Cox back for 1 year at $10 million. Now, apples and
oranges. Well, that's the thing that stood out to me, was like, I would rather have CJ than Fletch.
I mean, that's a fair argument to make. I mean, that's money. I mean, again, different positions, you value that position more. Fletch is a guy that, you know, you give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to, because of, you know, he's a homegrown guy. He's been in the system for a long time. He's become a little bit of a culture leader guy that you want to keep around. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say to the extent that you had Jason Kelce and Brandon Graham are that way. I mean, it's certainly a fair argument to make. And then, you know, they also lost Mark Sepp. So not only are you replacing both your starting linebackers, you have to replace both your starting safeties. That's the middle of the field. And, you know, maybe, and then that was an issue at times last season. But maybe that's what they're saying. There was a reason why that was an issue at times last season, because of those four guys maybe just weren't producing up to the level we thought they should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, that all makes sense.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
What do you think now? What do they do with safety?
You got Reed Blankenship, who got, I think, four starts under his belt. Kevon Wallace has seven starts. They're your two guys right now on the, you know, the
return. Yeah, you got to upgrade that.
You got to upgrade that. Right. And they signed Justin Evans. I think that's just kind of a depth, let's see what we got here kind of move. I don't think they expect him to come in and start. But as we know, Howie, and we know what can happen, especially at that safety position, over the years, they'll find ways. They can trade for guys. They can move. You know, CJ was not a safety in the NFL. They moved him from slot to safety. So, like, you can think outside the box at that position. Of course, the draft is a possibility. Tough to draft a safety and all of a sudden say, hey, you're starting. But, you know, as Andy Reid once famously said, and Howie certainly follows this template, give me a quarterback, two tackles, two pass rushers, and two cornerbacks, and I'll figure out the rest. And I think Eagles have much more than that, and you have a few holes, and Howie's going to try and figure that out here. He's got months to do so.
The edge philosophy, man. I heard that in 2000. But I sat, actually 1999, one day, I sat with Andy when I was at the Inquirer. I hung out in his office all morning and saw where he did his, both he had his personnel desk and his coach's desk. There were two different desks in the same office. And we talked all about his philosophies. And that edge philosophy was always a big deal at Andy. And that's where Howie got it from.
Yeah, pretty much. And Joe Banner was certainly a part of that as well. He believed that philosophy. Certainly, there were exceptions that you would make in terms of how you allocated your salary cap dollars.
That's where Andy and Joe, that was the crux of their only distance. Because they agreed football-wise a lot, but some of the money issues is where they got into it.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, that happens. I mean, I'm sure it's happening right now. Last year was a little different than this year in terms of what you could have spent. And I'm sure, you know, Howie and Nick are having those discussions, and sometimes they're very difficult discussions.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I kind of like, after all, if at the end of the free agent period, if I told you that they're going to bring both their cornerbacks back, I think you got to think that's a win.
They came in saying we only had so much money that we could spend. We can't bring all 20 of our free agents back. There is definitely an element of what happened in 2018-19. Let's do this again and roll it over and bring back a number of guys that are on the older side. Over a bunch of younger guys as they parted. So if you look at what they brought in, not only returned, brought in and re-signed in Slay's case versus what they lost in free agency, that's a three-year gap difference. Now, they're going to get younger through the draft and undrafted free agents as well. But, you run the risk. The one that I questioned, and I questioned it last year, was Fletcher Cox. I could see, once you couldn't afford Hargrave, to lose both your starting interior linemen would have been a tough pill to swallow. To me, the bigger issue, and I wrote about this today, is that at this point, you draft a first round interior defensive lineman, and you draft a third rounder at that position the year before. Those guys got to step up. So if they're thinking that, they're not quite there yet, that to me is a little bit of a concern heading into this season with Jordan Davis and Milton Williams we're talking about specifically.
What was your read on him? Like, what was the read by the coaches on Jordan Davis?
I would tell you the read I got from just people talking to people in the building. There's no reason why this kid should not be a three-down defensive lineman, right? And that's why you draft him that high. That's why you trade up for him. There was a little bit of a need-based, decision there in terms of, like, they needed a two-gap nose tackle for that scheme, and that's kind of still what they have there. But you need to justify expending that much on that position at that spot. He's got to play all three downs, right? I'm not saying 100% of the snaps. No one does on the defensive line, but he's got to play all three downs to be able to pass rush. He's got to be able to push that pocket. That's what he has to do, and he's not quite there yet. And you saw it was weird. I mean, he did the nose tackle job before he got hurt, and then after that, I think it affected him a little bit. And then they brought in Linval Joseph, and then he kind of took a back seat. And then they started moving him around a little bit. It was almost like they're preparing for the future. And then once the playoffs came around, they moved back down nose tackle spot. So, he's got to get stronger. He's a big kid. He's got the athleticism. He's got to get stronger. He's got to put more muscle on, from what I understand. And, if there's a question, that was obviously one that we heard about in college about the conditioning thing. And then, is he going to have that fire? I'm not saying he doesn't. But these were questions that were coming. These were questions that were being asked about him by teams that didn't end up drafting him at that spot heading into the draft. But again, there's no reason to think that he can't be worth that pick based on the athletic ability and the size.
All right. Yeah. That's the key of everything. What do you think of Desai? Like, have you gotten a chance to kind of sit down with him, talk to him? I know he's been in the building.
Yeah, no, we haven't really met those guys yet. No press conference and really no opportunity to meet with him yet. They still have to officially sign a defensive backs coach. So I think that's what they're waiting for. I heard really good things about him. He's a really sharp guy. Obviously, some local roots, haven't been to Temple. Just 1 year of the defensive coordinator under his belt. But they had a solid year. And really, honestly, it was in Seattle, they took a lot of his his scheme philosophies Pete Carroll did. And, you know, this is Pete Carroll. This is cover three, 4-3 under front. I mean, this is what he had done.
Yeah.
This is what he did for many years. And, well, you know, for many years, other teams were basically copying what Pete had done. And then all of a sudden, Pete was like, oh, okay, I kind of like this Vic Fangio thing. And he was adapting to what Desai was definitely, you know, implementing some of what they did schematically in Seattle last year. They liked what he had done. They didn't want him to leave, certainly. And I think maybe they had him lined up to, in case things didn't work out with the other defensive coordinator, to slide him into that spot. So, you know, he's thought of highly around the league now, but he's only got 1 year of play calling under his belt. And he's got to come in here and come in with basically not a full deck, not the deck that Jonathan Gannon was handed last year. He's now lost five defensive starters. He's going to have to, you know, work with a new set of players, but sometimes that's good when you got a new defensive coordinator coming in.
I like it. All right, real quick, last thing. So I'm doing Field of 64 sports food. If I would have told you popcorn chicken versus pigs in a blanket, who would advance?
Popcorn chicken? I've never had that. I got to go pigs in the blanket.
Pigs in a blanket, Judas.
It's already over. Popcorn chicken won 18 people ago.
Yeah, you're out.
You can't all of a sudden have a different result because Jeff McClain comes on 8 minutes after the final buzzer.
He's right. Jeff McClain is right about everything.
Jeff, the game ended
popcorn
hours ago.
Chicken.
It's delicious.
Popcorn chicken.
You ready? I'll give you another one. Mozzarella sticks versus calamari.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's a 4-13 seed.
I'm going with mozz sticks because, we're talking sports food, right?
So let's, yes.
Maybe, I'm not going to fancy it up with the calamari. So let's go, let's go mozz sticks.
I would agree with that. All right, great job. Great job as always. I trust you on everything. Thank you, Jeff.
I trust you. Thank you.
See you, buddy. Jeff McClain, inquireinquire.com on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.